This morning, John chapter 15 and verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and to bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Amen. This is God's word to us this morning. Let's just bow our heads for a moment and let's just ask God to come and to reveal that word to us today. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the joy of being able to be in this place. We thank you for the joy of being able to sing your praise. Lord, we thank you for the joy of being able to read your word. And we pray this morning, as we read that word together, that you would just speak to us clearly through it, to both speaker and listener alike. Lord, help us not to be distracted by anything else that's going on. But Father God, help us to hear your still small voice speaking to us. Father God, just bless us as we hear your word this morning. Help us to take it in and to understand. Help us to be able to apply it to our lives. Come speak to us now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Perhaps you saw the movie starring Sigourney Weaver, or perhaps you read of her exploits in National Geographic magazine. Maybe you saw her book, or maybe you heard of her death. Diane Fossey was an unusual woman, a Californian-born zoologist who left the comforts of her home for Africa. There she lived among the rare, gentle mountain gorillas of Rwanda, who were threatened with extinction due to the cruelty of poachers who were tracking them down one by one and slaughtering them. Maybe you remember that movie, Gorillas in the Mist. She began her mission in 1963 on the sides of a 14-foot-tall, rain-shrouded volcano. And after several years, those gorillas came to accept her as one of their own. Fossey named them. She cradled their babies. She cried with them as they mourned their dead. She once wrote, "These powerful but shy and gentle animals accepted and responded to my attentions when I acted like a gorilla. So I learned to scratch and groom and beat my chest. I imitated my subjects' vocalizations, hoots, grunts, and belches. Munched the foliage they ate, kept low to the ground, and deliberate in movement." After 18 years with the gorillas, she became like them. Dwelling among them, they were her friends. When they faced danger, she bravely defended them. But in the early hours of December 27, 1985, she was knifed and murdered, apparently by poachers whose trade she had sought to destroy. She died for those she went to live amongst and to save. 2,000 years ago, one far better, with a far greater mission and purpose in mind, came to this earth. Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven for a fog-shrouded volcano called Earth. He identified with us. He learned our names. He wept with us. And he too died for those he came to live amongst and to save. And it was Jesus himself who said those words we thought of earlier with the children, those words which we've read this morning: greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. An example of sacrificial love And so this morning, as we continue our walk through John's Gospel, we come to a passage where I feel Jesus is saying to his disciples that more love is required. He is about to leave them and shortly will be crucified and die. He has assured them that another counselor will come, the Holy Spirit, and he has spoken in the previous 8 verses of this chapter about the Father pruning them for service in order that they might be fruitful for the Lord. And with that concept of remaining connected to the vine, Jesus goes on to talk to them about the fact that love is required. He speaks firstly of a love for him, a love for Jesus. This is key, and it's central to everything that we do and everything that we are about. This is the one thing that needs to take priority in our life. Jesus has spoken of the need to remain connected to the vine, for in the vine there is life, as we know. And so loving Jesus is essential to life for us. In John 1 and 4 we read, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. In John 10 and 10 Jesus said, I have come that they may have life, and life in all of its fullness. Jesus was about to leave his disciples, and they would be left in bewilderment and fear. They would struggle to know what to do next and where to go. And so Jesus says, focus on me. I might not be with you, but focus on me. You're to make your relationship with me the priority of your life. If you love me, then everything else begins to make sense. Jesus said in John 15:9, where we begin this morning, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Love for Jesus is firstly expressed by remaining. As we thought last time, that word many, which is translated from the Greek, meaning to abide or to remain, is used 8 times in the first 8 verses. It's about to be used 3 times in the next 2. Jesus is making a very strong point to his disciples. They are to remain in him. They are to abide in him. How do you remain in someone's love? It begins by always being there. The analogy was given last time that if a branch is cut off and thrown away, it withers and it dies. If I say I love Morag, but I never spend any time with her, our love will gradually fade. I have no doubts about that. Our love for each other grows stronger because we spend time together, because we share together and talk together and walk together. When we first met, there was no love between us. But there was the love that a friend has one for the other. We only saw each other on Sunday at church and had a little conversation. Then as we decided that we wanted to develop our friendship, began to meet a little bit more often, and before long, before long, our love for each other grew so strong that we were spending every day with each other. And as we spent every day with each other, we got to know each other. And as we got to know each other, we grew to love each other more and more. And we began to express that more by wanting to be in each other's presence. That love, although very deep, very real, very true, continues to grow day by day as we remain in each other's presence. And so our love for Jesus is exactly the same. It can only grow as we remain in his presence. You know, I remember somebody telling me the story, reading the story once of a pastor who went to visit a member of his church who hadn't been there for quite some time. He had disappeared, and it was in the day when you still had houses with coal fires. And he knocked on the door, and the gentleman opened the door and saw his pastor, and without saying a word, he ushered him in. And the pastor came in, and they sat down in the living room around this coal fire, one on either side, and not a word was uttered. Pastor got up at one point, and he took the little clipper things, and he went to the fire, and he took one coal out that was glowing red, and he took it out and he placed it on the hearth beside the fire, and he went back to his seat, and the pair of them sat in silence, and he watched this little bit of coal as the red embers began to die out, as it began to go black once more in coal. And when it reached that stage, the pastor got back down and he picked it up and he placed it back into the fire, and he sat down and he watched that little coal with his friend.
And that coal began to glow once more after a period of time. The pastor got up without saying a word to him. And as the guy opened the door to let him out, he shook his hand and he said, "Pastor, I will be in church on Sunday." Why? Because he saw the powerful image that apart from remaining in the presence of others, without more importantly remaining in the presence of Christ, we die and we go hard and we go cold, remaining in Christ Jesus. And so our love for Jesus is expressed by remaining. We spend time with him. And so that love relationship grows and it flourishes. How do we spend time with Jesus? It starts with a daily quiet time. And the people have different views on what a quiet time is, what it means, how long it should be, what it should entail, how many days of the week we should do it. Friends, there's an underlying principle in all of that. Whatever you want to call it, quiet time or whatever, and however you want to shape that quiet time, there's only one thing for me, and it's taking God's word on a regular basis, whoever you are, wherever you come from. When you wake up in the morning, it's not picking up the daily record that's come through the door and looking at the sports page. It's not picking up the Financial Times and looking at the front page to see what's happening in the financial market today. It's not picking up the mail and flicking to the Sudoku and pulling it out and doing the Sudoku. Friends, the first thing we need to be doing every day in life is taking this word. This word. God's word. And reading it. We are in his presence as we take his word and as we read it together and as we read it on our own and as we learn from it. When we take time to read his word, we are remaining in him. We express our love for him by taking time to remain in him by reading that word. As we read that word, we learn more about him. As we learn more about him, we grow to love Jesus more. More than that, our quiet time should involve prayer. Prayer is talking with Jesus. We get up in the morning, those of us who are married, and we sit down with a cup of tea or coffee, and we chat to the person, our husband or wife, we chat to our kids about the weather outside. Isn't it a lovely morning? Oh, it's a cold morning, we need to escape the car, dear. Talking to God should be an important thing. Spending time praying to Jesus at the start of our day, and not just at the start of the day, but all day long, our relationship grows and it deepens as we spend time talking with him. Please, please make Bible reading and prayer an essential and important, a crucial, the priority in your lives. Love for Jesus, expressed by remaining in him. Love for Jesus is also expressed by obeying. In verse 10, Jesus continues by saying, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." In order to remain in my love, you will do as I ask, says Jesus. And as if to emphasize the importance of this, and also to encourage them, he tells them that he too obeys his Father's commands, so to remain in his love. Jesus left the glories of heaven. The glories of heaven. Picture it for a minute. You're sitting away in some posh and wonderful hotel. It's got all the mod cons. I'll use a personal example. We went to the Eagles at the start of the year for an overnight stay. When we went there, because I managed to get a really cheap deal because my mum works there, and we got a room for the night at a very reduced rate, and I mean a very reduced rate. Anyway, we're in this posh room that's got this big four-poster bed. The room's bigger. I have to say, the room's bigger just about in the bottom level of the man's. A massive room. Separate bathroom, there's a big widescreen television sitting there. They brought in all the fancy fruit and the biscuits and the coffee sitting there for us. And as you went down the stairs to have your breakfast, it's one of those places where the guy takes the napkin off the table and he lays it across your lap. And you think, by jingle, I just want to stay here forever. It's that good a place. Not that the man isn't, and not that he isn't, but that was just wonderful. But picture Jesus. He's in the glories of heaven. A place where the streets are paved with gold. A place where he's with his Father. A place where there is no hatred and no violence. A place where there is no pain and no sorrow and no suffering. And he willingly left the glories of heaven at his Father's command to come to this rubbish dump called earth. He came to live amongst people who were dirty and marred and scarred. He came to live amongst sinners. Why? Because he was obedient to the Father. And his obedience, he came to earth. And he had to come to earth. He had to come to earth to save each one of us. He had to come to rescue us.
You see, we'd all rebelled against God. We'd all sinned. We'd all fallen short of His glory, of that perfect image He had made us in. We had marred it. And sin separates us from God. And sin has an eternal punishment to it. Separation from God forever. And so to deal with sin, Jesus came to this earth. He was obedient to the Father. And He hung and He suffered and He died. He could have got down off that cross. He had the power to get down and to walk away. He could have done anything. But in obedience, He stayed on that cross. Jesus was obedient to the Father. And now He's urging His disciples to remain obedient to Him as well, to obey His commands. He says, if you love Me, you will obey Me. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, if you love your neighbor as yourself, then you will be obeying My commands. If you do all of this, you express your love for Me. If we love Jesus, we will spend time with Him. If we love Jesus, we will do as He asks. If we love Jesus, we will love others. If I love Morag, I won't want to badmouth her. I won't want to shout at her, to hit her. I won't want to leave her. I won't want to spend time away from her with someone else. I will spend my time with her. I will do things to show her that I love her. I love the story of little Richard Bellinger, a son of a pastor in South Carolina. I've probably told the story before. One Saturday night, Richard decided he wanted to polish his father's shoes for Sunday morning. I hope you're listening, Andrew. The following night, his father put a silver dollar on the desk in his son's room with a note commending him for his hard work and for his effort. The next morning, when the father put on his shoes, he felt something hard and metallic inside. He reached in, and out came that silver dollar he had placed on his son's desk the night before with a note beside it. And the note said, "I did it for love." The son wanted to polish his dad's shoes just because he loved them, not because he wanted a reward. We do things to show our love and to express it. We don't show our love by disobeying, by doing things that don't demonstrate our love. And so Jesus encourages His disciples to express their love for Him by being obedient to them. Jesus also says that the love for Him will be expressed with joy, by joy. Verse 11, "I have told you this so that My joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Now by joy, we're not talking about human happiness here. In human terms, happiness is dependent upon feelings, it's dependent upon circumstances, it's dependent upon things or people. If something good happens, I'm happy. If someone nice appears in front of me, then I'm thrilled and I'm over the moon. Jesus would say that joy is independent of everything apart from our relationship with God. The preceding verses may sound hard, those ones that we thought of the last time, verses 1 to 8 there, about being cut and about being pruned, as we think about Jesus' words there, about obeying His commands as well. But you see, obedience doesn't bring doom and gloom. Rather, obedience brings joy. Jesus was saying here that He has joy and He wants His joy to be in them. How is He joyful? He's left the glories of heaven. He's left that wonderful place to come to this wicked earth. He's despised. He's rejected by many. He's about to be nailed to a tree, to a cross. And yet Jesus finds joy in obeying His Father. Rather than being something hard and intimidating and joy-quelling, obedience to the Father actually brings joy to Jesus. We can think about it in a way, maybe that I deal with the kids at Kids Club. There are boundaries and there are rules. They're in place so that the kids have fun. If they stick within the boundaries, all is well. They are safe, no one gets hurt, and they have lots of fun. If they step outside of the boundaries, what happens? They find themselves running about the place. They huff and they puff and they run everywhere, and they run into people and they hurt one another. And if they're running with a pencil in their mouth or behind their ears or something, just imagine what could happen. You get the picture. And this is what Jesus is saying. I am joyful in obeying My Father because I am living within the safe boundaries He has placed. Obedience isn't doom and gloom. In fact, it's the opposite. It brings joy. The disciples' love for Jesus will be expressed by joy, for they are remaining in Him and obeying Him. Jesus recognized things were going to be difficult for these disciples in the days that lay ahead.
So he told them that more love was required. More love for him, firstly, which would be expressed by remaining, expressed by obeying, and expressed by joy. Jesus was to be their priority. He was to be their focus. If that happened, then they would live well. He goes on though to challenge them that more love is required. A love for others. In verse 12, Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." I wonder what the disciples thought as they looked around the room. They had been together for 3 years, but they were a pretty disparate bunch. Fishermen, tax collectors, brothers with sibling rivalries, the strong, the outspoken, the doubting. They were a mixed bag. Maybe they were thinking to themselves, as Jesus has been teaching them in these past chapters we've been reading, about the fact that he's about to leave them, about the fact that he's going to go away. Maybe they're thinking to themselves, by jingo, it's my time to get out as well. Maybe they're thinking to themselves, I can't stay with these guys 1 minute longer. I've had enough of them. And Jesus looks at them and he says to them, more love is required in the coming days. More love for each other. Unless they forget what he was saying, Jesus repeats those words again 5 verses later in verse 17. This is my command, he finishes by saying. This is my command, love each other. Don't forget now. Don't back out, don't back away. Get on with what I'm telling you. Love each other. And he continues by explaining what love for each other means and what it is. He begins with love that is sacrificial in verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus will come to demonstrate to this to them, his disciples, in the coming days, as he willingly laid down his life for them. He saw our needs and well-being is more important than his very life. Even if we would not know nor recognize the love of Jesus, this act of love of him laying down his life on the cross, still he would have gone and done it. Love that is sacrificial is what Jesus would show to the world. And he calls his disciples to have more love. And that love for each other as well, to be sacrificial. They are to count others better than themselves. They are to be willing to lay down their lives for their friends. They are to be willing to give their all to help one another. Real love is sacrificial love. But that's a struggle for us, isn't it? We find it easy to love those that we like. Those that we get along with, those that meet our needs, those that help us out, those who make us feel good and do things for us, others who give us things that we want and respond to us in love. We find it easy to love them, don't we? Jesus is saying here that it's not about us or about what we want or about what we get in return. It's about loving for the sake of loving. It's to be loving in order to help the other. Jesus is outlining here a radically different kind of love. It's a love that sacrificially gives of all of my time, all of my energy, all of my finances, all of my thoughts. It's a love that gives myself completely to the other in order to help them and to support them. That love is willing to lay down its own life in order to get what is required. Jesus laid down his life for us, even though we may never have responded to that love. He was still willing to sacrificially give up his life in order that others would have an opportunity to get right with God. Jesus knew many would reject him, but still he died to save them. His love was sacrificial. Our love is the same. It's to be a love that's expressed in ways that may never gain us reward on earth or anything back in return. It's a love that's based on our love for Jesus, which is why the main priority coming through from Jesus here is that we're to look at our love for him. Our love for others is also a love that's special. It's difficult to love sacrificially. So Jesus reminds his disciples that there's something in it for them in the midst of that. Jesus' love for us is special. He says in verse 14, "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." How more special, can we ever be than to be called friends of Jesus? And this, just catch this for a moment, This isn't us choosing to call Jesus our friend. This is Jesus calling us his friend. You know, many times in life, someone will meet someone famous and then they'll go around bragging, saying, so-and-so is my friend. I could do it with Marvin Andrews. Okay, he's not that great a celebrity, but hey, Big Marv was here last year at the kids' club, showing the boys how to play football, sharing a little bit about himself. I could go around saying, my big friend Marvin. And you would all think, man, Hamish is a great friend with Marvin Andrews. Hamish and Marvin Andrews must be like that. But Marvin Andrews, although he might consider me his friend, I guarantee you today he probably doesn't even remember who I am because of all that he does and all that he meets. When we come to Jesus, when we come to accept him as Lord and as Saviour, Jesus says to us, he says, Hamish, you're my friend. He says, Willie, you're my friend. He says, Paul, you're my friend. He says, Ian, you're my friend. He says, Jenny, you're my friend. He says, we don't say. We can say, we do say, and it's wonderful to say. But catch that, Jesus, the Saviour of the world, the Son of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the most important person in this universe, counts you and me as his special friend. Instead, I have called you friend. Love that is special because it's based on our love for Jesus and his love for us. And finally, love that is essential. Jesus says in verse 15, instead I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I've made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. To go. We are to go and to bear fruit. We are to go and to tell others about Jesus. We are to go and share his love for others. We are to go and point them to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Love for others is essential. Without our love for others, we will not go. We will sit here comfortably week by week in the warmth. It is warm now. And in the comfort with the people we know and are comfortable with. But love is essential. There's a dying world out there that does not know Jesus. There's a world out there that couldn't even tell you anything that the Bible says. You know, my heart's been broken this week a couple of times. I was at a meeting in Edinburgh on Tuesday chatting about religious observance in schools. And to hear some of the stories of chaplains who go into schools and the kids don't even know some of the stories of Scripture. To hear from some of our students who are training to be teachers about how kids don't even know Bible stories such as Jonah and the whale. They don't know the basics of Scripture anymore. There's a world out there that is dying because they don't know Jesus. They're crying out for help. They don't know where to turn. Our task is to love them. Our task is to show them that we love them. Our task is to share with them the love of Jesus. It's not just something that is added on for us to do. It's essential that we go and bear fruit. It's essential that we love one another. Our Saviour chose us. Isn't that a remarkable thought? He chose us. He chose me with all of my weaknesses, with all of my moans, with all of my groans, with all of my sin. He loved me beyond measure, so much that he willingly laid down his life for me. And so he says to me today, and he says to you today, there is more love required in your life. Love firstly and foremostly for Jesus. And that love for him is expressed by remaining, by obeying, by joy. Keep reading his word, keep praying, keep living out that word day by day. And more love is required for others as well. Love that is sacrificial, love that is special, love that is essential. And that love for others flows from a love firstly for Jesus. We can never have enough love. The message today is fairly simple. Those three words that are the title, more love required. We might think we're deeply in love with Jesus. We might think our love for him is so strong. But he says to us, as he said to his disciples, more love required. More love required for me. More love required for others. Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we thank you for your word to us this morning. We thank you for your love for us, Father God.
We thank you for the love of Jesus. We thank you that Jesus was willing to lay down everything to come to this earth and to live amongst us. We thank you that he was willing to come and to suffer and to die in our place upon the cross that we might live. Father God, we thank you for that. We pray that you'd help us to love Jesus more. We pray that you'd help us to love him more and to express that by remaining in him, to be reading his word and learning from that word, to be praying to you on a regular basis. Father God, help us to be expressing that love by obeying you, by loving others, by loving you more than anything else, by putting you first in our lives. Help us to express that with the joy in which we live. Father God, help us to love others, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, even when it's people that we don't necessarily get along with. Father God, help us to love and to show that love that is sacrificial, that love that is special, that love that is essential in our world today. Father God, I pray this morning that as we've thought through your word together, I pray that you'd help us to find ways to apply that to our lives individually and collectively. Father God, I pray this morning as we leave this place that each of us would read that word again, that we would study it again to make sure that what we've heard this morning isn't just from the speaker but is from you. And Father God, we pray that as we do that, you would help us to see those ways this week in which we might apply that to our lives. Whether that be getting up those 5 minutes earlier and laying the paper to the side to read your word first and foremostly during the day to express our love in that way. Or whether it be that we go out of our way to go and to sit with those we never normally sit with at lunchtime at work or at school or wherever it happens to be, and just to share something of your love with them. Father God, allow that word to percolate through our minds and to our hearts and through every part of our lives, we pray. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.